Man, I'd love to go back to having that kind of energy. Man. All right, but I am excited this morning. You know, we spend a lot of time this time of the year talking about life and the birth of Jesus and all of those things. But when we get to the story this morning, what we see is there's a lot of death at the birth of Christ. And that's it ought to be startling for us. And I think I caught some of your attention whenever I just said that. But really, Christmas, that first Christmas was a time that was just surrounded by death. And indeed, we are surrounded by death even today, every day. Just a couple of headlines real quick. Kentucky tornado aftermath. Death toll rises to 76. COVID-19 death toll reaches 800,000 in the U.S. Another one this week. Music producer among nine killed in a plane crash in the Dominican Republic. We see this story that we're about to read here in just a moment about Simeon. Death was this real theme at the very beginning. Circumcision. An old man named Simeon who was about to die. An old widow who had lost her husband, and she was probably soon to die. Two snow-white doves that were sacrificed. One lamb that was offered for the sins of the world. Could Jesus have just come and taught us how to be a good Christian and then be swept up into heaven? Why does Christmas have to be overshadowed by the cross? Why does the manger have to be overshadowed by the cross? Well, we're going to read from Luke chapter 2. And Miss Sue, we'll just read verses 29 through 32. So would you stand with me? We're going to continue to read from the Songs of Christmas, and we're going to hear the Nunc Dimittis. And it comes from the first two words translated in Latin of the song that Simeon sang, which means, now I may depart, or now he may depart, now your servant may depart. What that means is, it's okay for me to die now. That's what Simeon's basically saying. It's okay for me to die now. Now listen to what his song says. Verse 29 of chapter 2 of Luke. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we ask that you would illumine our hearts. God, that you would encourage us, usher in your peace into our hearts, so that we may be people of peace who demonstrate to the world that we know that there is one who is in control. There is one on the throne, and that his name is Jesus. And in a world full of chaos, a world full of death, a world full of illness and disease, and so many hearts despair this time of the year, that we might shine brightly and we might show the hope that we have within us to the world, that Jesus would be evident in us, that people would see Jesus living in us because we're different. Lord, give me words to speak now as I share your word, that it may draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Why is there such a mention in Luke chapter 2 in the birth narrative of Jesus of circumcision? And why does it talk about two young pigeons or turtle doves that are sacrificed? All of this points us to this one truth, this biblical truth that I want to share with you this morning. And this truth is that Jesus was the baby born to die. Of all the babies in the world, Jesus is the only one that was born to die for the sins of the entire world. And from the very beginning, Luke points us to this truth about Jesus, that he's not just a baby, and we're not just celebrating a birth of a child like we do every time a child is born. This was a special occasion. This was a baby that was unlike any other baby ever born in the world. I want to give you three reasons today why Jesus was born to die. Why he had to die. Why he was born incarnated in flesh. And then why that body had to be broken for us. Number one, Jesus was born to die to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. Look with me again in verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The law required circumcision. Genesis 17 and verse 12. God told Abraham that he would have to circumcise his child. Jesus could never be identified as a true Israelite without the mark of circumcision. Someone would have questioned his legitimacy as a Jew, and therefore he would not have been the proper sacrifice for us. But not only does the law require circumcision, the law requires sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 12, the Bible says that the firstborn male requires a sacrifice. Verse 22 of Luke chapter 2, when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And these animals had to die. 8 days after giving birth, circumcision, and then after the purification, sacrifice. Blood was shed. I don't think we like to think about this whenever it comes to Christmas time. I think we love to celebrate, and we love to set up Christmas trees and put out ornaments and hang lights and decorate, eat wonderful pecan pie, give presents, sing for joy, all of these things. But what we miss is that blood was shed. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus was the one who came and he fulfilled all of these righteous requirements of the law. Exodus 13 and 2 says, consecrate to me the firstborn, whatever the first to open the womb among people of Israel, both man and of beast, is mine. Well, Jesus is the only one who has ever truly, totally, from the moment of conception till his death, 100% dedicated to the will of God. No one else ever fulfilled the law like Jesus did. The law required a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Christ was that lamb. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, 2 through 4, says, For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, by the way, that's you and me, the ones of the flesh, could not do. We couldn't keep the law perfectly. And this is how God did it, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Jesus is the one who fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. Even from the very conception of Christ, He was perfect and sinless, according to the law of the Lord. And only that Lamb was worthy to pay the debt and be the sacrifice for our sin. So number one, the reason why Jesus came as the baby born to die was to live that perfect life for us. But secondly, He came as the baby born to die to provide the sinner's substitute. Now, we see that as they come to make this offering, there's someone kind of lurking at the temple. And he pokes his head out from behind one of the columns and he sees Jesus. And he notices that there's something about this child. The Spirit of the Lord reveals it to him. Look at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Now, as we think about Simeon for just a minute, the Bible says he lived a righteous and devout life. That means that compared to others, Simeon was a pretty good guy. He kept the law of the Lord as best he could. He prayed and he kept his life free from hang-ups and habits. He harbored no unforgiveness. And he did everything he could to please the Lord. So why was he waiting? Many people today, if you were to ask them, do you believe that you'll go to heaven whenever they die? I've heard people, as I've been sharing the gospel with people, I'd say, do you believe that you're going to go to heaven when you die? And they say, well, I hope so. I think so, maybe. Well, if you were going to go to heaven, if you were to go to heaven, and Jesus would say, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Well, I've done all this good stuff. I read my Bible, I go to church, and I'm a pretty good guy. In other words, I'm a lot like Simeon. I'm righteous and devout, according to man's standards. I don't smoke, drink, chew, do drugs, party, dance, do any of those things. Heard someone on the radio talking about how they saw their little dog walk across the porch one day. And they thought about that dog, and they thought about how that dog doesn't smoke, drink, chew, do drugs, dance, and he doesn't run around with others who do. That dog was just about as righteous as he was. You know, Adrian Rogers said, I wouldn't trust the best 15 minutes that I ever lived to get me into heaven. Why was Simeon still waiting? Simeon was still waiting because even though the Bible describes him as righteous and devout, Simeon was a sinner. The Bible makes this pretty clear that we've all sinned. Galatians 3 verse 11, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. And if we fail at one point, we've broken the entirety of the law. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Simeon was staring down the barrel of that gun, knowing that one day he would die. And it wasn't okay for Simeon. He was waiting to see the salvation of the Lord. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says that when he saw Jesus, he said in verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Now you're letting your servant depart in peace. Why? Because he had seen the salvation of the Lord. And he goes on to talk about this salvation. And he says, it's according to your word. That this is something that God had promised. God had said it long ago that he would send a Savior to the world. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people. That word prepare is a kind of a special word. We need to pause and think about it for a moment. Because what it means is to make ready. And it's a reference to the work of the priest who was preparing the sacrifices for the sacrificial system. And it's interesting that Mary and Joseph are there and they're bringing their baby. And they're about to go take the baby in and dedicate it. And they're stopped by this old man. Allison and I have been stopped by people, Walmart, older men, older women. They grab hold of the little feet and the little hands of our little baby, and we're like, why did we bring them out? We shouldn't have done this. They're going to get sick. We got to go back home. But they're grabbing them. They're talking about, oh, he's so precious, or she's so precious. You can imagine that, can't you, for a minute? And then Simeon begins to use the language of sacrifice for this child and saying, Lord, now you have prepared. They knew what that meant. They knew it meant sacrifice because they had prepared. They had done everything necessary to bring their sacrifice, the perfect two pigeons that they needed to bring. They didn't have money for a lamb, so they brought those two turtle doves, and they were spotless and white, and they'd done everything to prepare. They'd bought them. They'd had them in the cage. They were covered. They were ready to bring that sacrifice in. They'd done everything. And they knew that the priest was about to take those and offer them to the Lord. They knew what that word prepared means. If you don't believe me, let me read to you a couple of verses of Scripture that talk about the sacrifices being prepared in the same way. Psalm 5 and verse 3, David said, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. David's talking about getting ready for the evening sacrifice. He gets up early in the morning, he prepares it, and then he waits and he watches. Zephaniah 1 and verse 7 says, be silent before the Lord your God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. Hebrews 10, 4 through 7, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world. Now, by the way, the writer of Hebrews is hearkening back to the birth of Christ. And he says, when Christ came into the world. At Christmas, that first Christmas, he said, this is the baby saying this now, listen to me. Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. The enfleshment of Almighty God was prepared. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. If the baby could have spoken that day, this is what he would have said. I've come to be the sacrifice of the world. As we think about how he was prepared, he was promised from the beginning. God said to Eve in the garden that one of her descendants would crush the head of the serpent, but that the serpent would bruise the heel of that one. It was prepared by His birth. As He entered into human flesh, that body would be the same body that would grow to be a man. And then that body would be stretched out upon the cross. Nails put in the hands and feet of that body. A crown of thorns put on the head of that body. And then that body would die on the cross for you and me. It was purchased by His blood. With every drop of blood that was poured out, the Lord Jesus was paying the debt. It was owed for you and me for our sin. His righteousness in place of our sinfulness on the cross purchased us salvation. We are only forgiven because Jesus offered His body and His blood for us. That's the only way we're forgiven. We're not forgiven because we're righteous and devout. We're not forgiven because we sit in a pew and we sing songs of praise. We're not forgiven because we can quote the Bible. We are forgiven because Jesus died for us on the cross. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." In other words, the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When John the Revelator saw the vision of heaven, he saw the Lamb standing as if it had been slain from the foundation of the world. Praise be to God that if you're in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. God's not counting your sins against you. The debt's been paid. The record's been cleared. And you stand righteous and holy before Almighty God. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done for you. And so Jesus was the baby born to die to fulfill the righteous requirement and to provide the sinner substitute, but lastly, to offer an open opportunity. An open opportunity, an open door for anyone who would believe in Him and anyone who would come to Him. So Simeon goes on to say, and we'll keep reading where we left off. "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." Notice that word "all," and you can underscore that in your Bible. All peoples. Verse 32, "a light for revelation to the Gentiles." So revelation for the Gentiles, what they never knew before about God, now is being revealed in Christ. That God is a good, loving God who created us and desires for us to spend eternity with Him. That revelation had come in Jesus. "And for the glory to your people Israel," not just to the Gentiles, but to the Jews as well. Jesus came to both Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female. There is no one excluded in the kingdom of God. Verse 33, "and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him." Would you? I mean, wouldn't you? "And Simeon blessed them." So now Simeon turns to the parents and he offers the blessing over them. But listen to the blessing. "Said to his mother Mary, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" An open opportunity. Jesus is either your sanctuary that you run to that holds you up, or He's the stumbling stone that causes you to fall. Listen to Isaiah 8 and verse 14. "And He will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." How can Jesus be a sanctuary and a stone? Well, for you and me, that means that as we receive Jesus into our heart, now we run into the sanctuary that God has provided. And we're safe there. But for those that reject Jesus and say, I don't want God's offer of salvation. I'm good on my own. I'm fine the way I am. Maybe you say you're a Christian, or even, but then you deny Jesus any room in your heart. Now Jesus has become the stumbling block for you. And for many in that day, they stumbled over Jesus. Now, Simeon goes on to say to Mary, "For a sign that is opposed," and the word opposed means to speak against. Literally, that's what that word means, to speak against it. And it reminds us of that Passion Week of Jesus, whenever they mocked Him and they spat on Him and they said, "He saved others. Why can't He save Himself? Just come down from the cross." And Paul said, 1 Corinthians, "For the word of the cross is folly, foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And even today, there's still people that look at the cross and they look at Christmas and they look at all of the things that we Christians do to celebrate this time of the year and they say, "Bah, humbug. Wish all these fanatics would just get out of my way so I can get on home." They're angry. But perhaps you have even felt that way a little bit at Christmas. Don't speak against the Christ of Christmas. Don't oppose His sign. Don't oppose Him. But He says that that would happen and that He would be opposed and a sword would pierce through your own soul. Now, you think with me about Mary. She's gotten a few years on her at this point. Maybe a few wrinkles. A few miles on her body. And there she is at the foot of the cross. Can you imagine how painful that must have been? Joseph evidently died before Jesus died. And so there's Mary watching her son give his life for the souls of mankind. Yeah, a sword pierced her heart. And she felt that pain. But verse 35 gives Mary the reason. Simeon says, "So that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." One day, the Lord Jesus will return. And everyone will behold Him, see Him. You'll see Him. I'll see Him. Every person on this planet will see Jesus one day. And right there and then, who you really are on the inside will be revealed for everyone to see. You won't be able to hide it that day anymore, whether you really know Jesus or not. That day is coming. We'll be revealed soon. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, the same body that was born in a manger, that grew up to be a man, that died on the cross, was raised again from that tomb, and then ascended into heaven and is there now. The body of Jesus is in heaven right now for us, presented before God as a way for us to enter in. And he says, since we have this new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Notice that phrase, with a true heart, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God has done everything for you. Everything for you to enter in. All you need to do is receive His gift. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. An invitation. Right now, the door is open for you. I remember my grandmother before she passed away. It didn't matter what time, day or night, that you came to her house. She would say, are you hungry? Let me fix you something to eat. And if you said yes, sit down at the table and get ready. She's going to take care of you. Right now, the place at the table is set. The invitation is for you. That if you don't know Christ, the one who died for you, there is no other way. This is the only way to get to heaven. This is the only way to spend eternity with God. And the alternative is a place that we call hell. And without a relationship with Christ, you'll go there. But it doesn't have to be that way. I want you to listen to the words of Anna in the next paragraph. We kind of sometimes skip over Anna, but I think we need to see her too, because not only did Simeon rush up and take Jesus into his arms and bless him, Anna was there too. Now let me tell you about her. There was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years. I love how it says Simeon was old, but it says Anna was advanced in years. I don't know if that's a nicer way of putting it or not. It might be a way of saying she was really old. But having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin and then a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God. She opened up her mouth and began to praise God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She went and spread that good news. So whether you're here today and you know Jesus, and it's your job to go out and spread that good news, or whether you're here today and you don't know Jesus, but you want to know Him, Jesus is the baby who was born to die for you. Now I would invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. That's just a way of isolating yourself from any other distraction so that you can hear the voice of the Lord right now as He speaks to you. His Spirit is in this place. Now you can either hear Him now, listen to His voice, receive His word with gladness, or you can deny Him. But either way, God has come near to you during this hour. His holy word has spoken to you, to your heart. And we're about to have an invitation. This is time for you to make a decision. If you don't know Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but you're ready to give your life to Him today and enter into that relationship, I want to lead you in a prayer. And this prayer is not a magical prayer. This prayer is your confession of your faith in Christ. So say this prayer in your heart with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I've done things that I know are wrong, and I haven't done the things that I know are right, and I deserve the penalty for my sin. But dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you came as a baby. You lived a perfect sinless life. You taught us about the righteousness of God. And then you died on the cross for my sin. So I put my faith and my trust in you for my salvation. Forgive me of my sin. Give me a home in heaven with you whenever I die. And I'll spend the rest of my life, however long that is, loving you and serving you. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me? Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you know the Lord Jesus, it's your job to proclaim what Jesus has done as we go forth from this place. If you've prayed that prayer that we just prayed and you meant that with all your heart, please let us know what Jesus has done for you. We want to celebrate with you. We want to provide resources for you so that you can grow in the Lord. We want to talk to you about baptism, the next step of obedience in your walk with Christ. We want to share these things with you. So if you've prayed that prayer, you don't hesitate. You come down. And if you just need prayer, you need someone to come alongside you and encourage you and pray for you, this is your invitation as well. Our prayer counselors will be coming forward. And so as we sing, you respond to the Lord as He leads you. Be faithful and obedient to Him.